with Reho. BioTalkRadio.com.
BioTalk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sir Rocket.
Pipe Bomb.
Mace.
Where, oh, where are my WWE ice cream bars?
Lindsay Ward.
Wait, you want me to do commentary?
I want you to do commentary.
Can I wear your blazer?
You can even wear my blazer.
I'm in.
Jackie Feist.
You want to see the text message my little sister Shalene sent me last night? Here it is. OMG, Kevin Nash, WTF, thought he was dead, LOL.
And of course, you.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I've always really wanted to do this.
Give us a call and give us your take on what you thought of Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. If you can take it, all about your stand. If you can pay it, it's all about pay. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run. Like a Cleveland bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out here and die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay,
because
I am the game and I want to play.
This is where I'm supposed to spit water out like magic, I think.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Well,
not unless you want to come out in a like a metal wielder's mask like Kane does. That would be cool.
I was going to do the spinning thing, but then it would get all over the computer and we wouldn't have
a show.
Yeah.
Might not be good. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the WTR Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I echo that wholeheartedly. Oh my god, what the fucking hell was that?
Did it... we were going to see this eventually. Against somebody, we were going to see Laurinaitis in the ring.
We were, but... You... I can't even form words. It's just, it's like you did what you did last night at Extreme Rules, which, okay, fine, you had Cena loss. That I'm not too terribly upset about. You know what, Cena goes over, fine, whatever. Only to set up a match in 3 weeks at Over the Limit with John Laurinaitis, which means we're going to have to fucking sit through John Laurinaitis unless something happens next week, which it damn well better, wrestle. Which means he's going to wear that god-awful shirt and we're going to see his bitch tits again. I just, why? Why would you book it this way? You had a perfect setup for it. And you just, you're gonna, unless you're gonna have Brock come back, I don't even know. This, why did I have to pick the straw to come back? Why? Somebody please explain it to me. Please? Anybody?
I just don't know.
I'm the only one looking forward to seeing John Laurinaitis get his ass handed to him.
Yeah, pretty much, because I really don't want to see that. If John Laurinaitis is going to get his ass handed to him, I would really rather see somebody like Kane do it than see John Cena do it, because let's be perfectly honest, John Laurinaitis, in all likelihood, unless, like I said, something happens next week, is not going to get his ass handed to him.
You're seeing like a run-in by Tensai?
I'm seeing like a run in by Tensai. I'm seeing it very being very one sided because he's got Tensai on his side. They officially made that introduction tonight,
right,
with Tensai coming out and beating the crap out of Cena. So yeah, I see it being very one sided. And like I said, unless you have repercussions from Triple H getting his ass handed to him by Brock this week, which I still don't even know what's going on there. But, yeah, Brock.
What?
Can we rewind to just not have done that? Do that over? You know, the whole Brock. Can we just have a do-over?
Okay. We're going to do-over right now.
Wild Talk Radio presents... Oh, Lord.
That's not what I meant. You know it, you bastard.
I had to.
But well played, nonetheless.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's lots of other stuff that happened on Raw that we should talk about.
Oh,
there are lots of positives, yes. Let's focus on those, please.
We have new tag team champions, and we are rid of the Bella Twins.
Yay!
Yay!
Look, I'm looking for my email, and there's no notes. I don't have notes.
You didn't take any notes?
Where's my notes?
Your notes?
Wait a minute. Sir Rockin, the producer at WTR, just to make sure I'm talking about the same person, the guy with the gray kitty as a Skype picture, didn't take any notes?
I haven't been taking notes. I've had someone else taking notes.
Oh, gee, I wonder where that person could be. Oh, wait, that's right. I'm right here.
Because, you know, I'm supposed to get notes, and then I'm supposed to go...
Can I have your attention, please?
You're going to fucking die for that. Jackie, hold my purse while I kick his ass.
Yes, ma'am.
So, we open with Monday Night Raw, starring Brock Lesnar. That was annoying.
Yeah, that was kind of annoying.
But Lesnar came out. Fans got to see him bring the pain firsthand, and that's what he was going to do, and that's what he did. And then Laurinaitis was about to agree with Brock, and then out came the WWE CAO Triple H.
The CAO. I was kind of like, really?
Johnny.
Way to flub your boss's title, Johnny.
Really?
Yeah, like Triple H is WWE's chief accounting officer. Just saying.
So the CAO comes out, offers his hand to Brock, and Brock kind of shakes it. Laurinaitis assumed Hunter was there to congratulate the new face of the WWE, but no. He was here to take back everything John Laurinaitis gave Brock Lesnar. No more limousine, no more jet, no more starring Monday Night Raw, as no one is bigger than Monday Night Raw. No one. The show will always be called WWE Raw, Monday Night Raw. But I thought they call it the Super Show. Anyway, you know.
Don't get technical.
That's just me getting technical. You know, Triple H wants Brock here, he wants him in the WWE, and all that fun stuff. And then, you know, he's asking if he would hold up to the deal. Brock is balking at Laurinaitis. Laurinaitis gets told to shut up a few times. This is where a hashtag down with Laurinaitis really fit. Just saying. Then we had, you know, one more interruption by Laurinaitis. Hunter turns around and starts yelling at him. And then Brock smash.
Brock goes smash.
Brock goes smash, locks in the Kimura lock, and then the COO is down, and then he screams, "He broke my arm!" And he kind of made it look legit, too. Looked really good.
Yeah, I was honestly, just knowing Triple H, I was expecting him to just, like, pull his broken arm off and beat Brock Lesnar with it. I was kind of disappointed to see him getting carried out.
No. Brock breaks Taker's arm off and then beats Taker with his own arm. Get it right.
Yeah.
We're going to do gimmicks. We're going to do the gimmick right.
Ugh.
Just saying. that was a fantastic. Should mention the guy Sheamus, Big Show, R-Truth, Kofi, right after a save. Apparently, when Cena gets in a brawl with Brock, everyone comes out, but Triple H gets four people.
Well, to be fair, you know, the four people that came out, they're kind of awesome. Well, actually, to be fair, more than four people came out because they had the high-class security and the suits and ties.
Right.
So, yeah.
But this was a well-done segment.
This was a fantastic way to open Raw. It set the right tone for the show. It's like, okay, you know, you have Brock beat up Triple H. You expect some continuation to happen throughout the show as Brock is shown the door. Hunter's arm is confirmed as broken, and John Laurinaitis is pissing himself in fear because, oh God, I'm going to get fired. And we didn't get that. It's like they booked this fantastic opening, and then they kind of forgot about the rest of the show. It's like, oh yeah, you know, well, we'll just bullshit the other, you know, 2 hours or hour and 40 minutes or however long it was. You know, there was a complete disconnect from the opening of the show to the rest of the show.
Jackie?
I didn't dislike it quite as much as Lindsay did, at least that one segment. I mean, this is, I'm just wanting to get this character off the air. I'm really just wanting to get it over with. And they're not just going to pull him off the air. There's going to be a process. He's going to continue to overstep his bounds. He's going to get in trouble with the board of directors, and he's going to lose his position as Raw and SmackDown general manager. I mean, I'm pretty confident this is what's going to happen. We got to go through the steps, and I'm just like, the sooner the better. We get Laurinaitis off TV, get a good general manager in, get Teddy Long back on SmackDown. Let's just get it over with.
Problem is, they're not going to do that.
No. But see, this segment worked. But you know what made this segment better? Brock winning last night and still being, you know, the cocky asshole and then getting everything taken away from him. That would have cost him the snap. That would have made perfect logical. No.
Yeah. WWE and logic do not apply together. Just saying.
Okay. Moving on. No. Moving on. We had Beat the Clock Challenge tonight on Monday Night Raw. You know, the stipulation where you have to, I'm trying to remember Eve's words, but she kind of screwed them up.
Why is she wearing glasses now?
Isn't that the thing for women to do to look smarter? Wear glasses?
No, I wear them because I'm fucking blind, thank you, but... Why is Eve wearing glasses? Is she trying to pull a more ho-ish Miss Hancock?
So John Laurinaitis has a target?
So he, oh God. That's
it's dumb.
Wrong.
That whole executive administrator thing is stupid.
At least she's dressing the part a little bit better. She's still kind of dressing, they're doing a Miss Hancock character with her, which is fine. But yeah, if you're going to do it, go study how Stacey Keibler did it. At least she did it well. No, King Kittens, no.
So, she flipped her lines. Apparently, every executive flips her lines. She's learning well from John Laurinaitis. Just saying.
Not all of the administrative assistants in the world flub their lines. Just saying.
I said all executives.
Oh yeah, executives. Yeah. Well, I'm not an executive, so that I wouldn't know.
So all executives flub their lines in WWE, except for Hunter, I guess. Even then, he kind of screws up sometimes. But we had the Beat the Clock Challenge. Up first, we have a YouTube main event rematch live on free television for the entire world to see. The Miz versus Santino Marella.
This is actually a really good match. I was kind of disappointed it was shorted. It was so short.
Would
have
liked
to see more.
It really did, though. I mean, with it being a Beat the Clock Challenge, it just put Miz over to a certain extent that the match was short because he set a really high bar for everyone else. I was just kind of, I mean, I don't know who who the Miz pissed off, but I thought, oh my gosh, maybe the Miz is actually going to start to get a push again, but it ended up right back into the hands of Randy Orton.
Jackie made a funny. She thought the Miz would get a push again. Jackie makes a funny.
That will never happen.
So the Miz defeats Santino Marella in 4 minutes and 18 seconds. Remember that time. It's important as we keep track of the rest of the show. Up next, the new WWE Divas Champion, Layla, takes on Nikki and Brie Bella in a triple threat match for the WWE Divas title. Bell rings and they're off. Dropkick. Roll up. 1, 2, 3. It's over in 11 seconds.
Yay.
What?
Sweet.
Really?
Yes, yay.
11 seconds? Really?
Yes.
We shortest and best fit. Divas match ever.
Thank you.
Why was it on your TV? Why? What?
Because they had to technically do the rematch because Mace was right in the sense that Brie got pinned and not Nikki. So they had to give a rematch so that way Layla could win the belt properly and also they can send one or both Bellas out on her back seeing as their contract is now finished.
I get all that. But they went 11 seconds.
They had more
They beat Daniel Bryan. Come on. They went 11 seconds better than Daniel Bryan. I mean, are you really surprised by short, pointless, meaningless Divas matches?
No, but... it just makes my head hurt. This show is making my head hurt.
Yeah, just don't even think about it anymore.
They're gone now, so you can all be happy.
Yeah, if you haven't heard, if you're living under an internet rock... They tweet it, they Facebook, and then they said it on TV that the Bellas have been fired.
Which is weird because, you know, we just had the COO get his arm broken. That person didn't lose their job. I really didn't see anything interesting or more interesting that the Bellas did tonight than they do any other night.
I'm just curious, did they give a reason why they were fired?
I never read the release. I just saw it.
I was just expecting them to be like, you know what, screw this place, we're out of here.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was expecting. Hold on, it's in a video apparently. Stand by while I watch the video.
Standing by. So this is where we'll have dead air as Lindsay Ward watches the video live on the air.
Well, unless you want to hear it through my headset.
I could. It's a video, you say?
It's a video on WWE.com.
So... I thought I tweeted it. Let me go to WWE.com and I'll play the video and everyone else can hear it. How about we do that?
Let's do that.
You know. Here we go.
We had no plan for tonight, in case you can tell.
Can you tell, really? Here we go. Well, we did have a plan, but, you know, we'll get there.
God damn it, Firefox.
Your WWE.com exclusive.
You know what? Why is it every time I need you, you fail?
Oh, come on, Nikki. I'm always there for you.
No,
I'm tired of hearing about it.
Oh, you're tired of hearing about it? You know what? We're going to go figure this out right now.
Excuse me, ladies. Where do you think you're going?
We're going to go talk to Johnny because I need a rematch.
Yes. First of all, that's Mr. Laurinaitis to you. Second of all, I don't know if you know this, but things are pretty hectic around here tonight. He is very busy, and you're just not his top priority right now.
What?
Wow, look at you in your pretty little clothes and your new glasses. You're not so special, Eve.
We can do your job, and in fact, one day we will.
Nikki, Bree, I'm actually really glad you guys stopped by. You see, I was just reviewing your contracts, and it's a funny thing. They're almost up. You know, with the economy not being so hot and budget cuts, etc., etc., you're both fired.
What? Wait, excuse me, you're joking, right?
Let me rephrase that. How does Johnny say it? Best of luck in your future endeavors.
You're crazy. You are. You can't do that.
Who do you think you are? Fine, you know what? See how it is without the Bella twins.
That's right. We don't need you.
Yeah, good luck with that. Try to find twins like us. You know, we're out of here. We don't need this place. Yeah.
Oh, I guess it was how I thought.
Really? Okay. Actually, they could have played that on TV, it would have worked.
It would have worked.
It would have helped to get Eve over tremendously. But no, they do it on the website.
Up next on the show, Chris Jericho came out for his Beat the Clock challenge against The Big Show.
Jericho, all over again.
And okay, the match was fine. They head to the outside of the ring, which, you know, they toss him out. The old Rumble thing where Jericho chokes Big Show and they tosses him out. That old spot. And then, you know, they try to make their way to the ring. We're at 4:15, 4:16, 4:17. Jericho gets into the ring. The referee's up to 8:09. Ding, 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 ding. Or the buzzer sounds or whatever. And then the referee goes 10.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
But then he's telling the referee, no, there was 1 second left.
Yeah, that's called a botch.
A botch by the ref, no less.
Who's the ref?
The black guy.
Oh, dear. Dude, count to 10 and then call for the bell. That's how this shit works. Unless Vince McMahon is standing there yelling at you to ring the bell, you wait, you count to 10, and then you go ring the bell, ring the bell. You don't go 9, ring the bell, 10.
There wasn't the match over at 9. And yet,
yes.
Yeah, stupid.
That's going to be a sound you're going to hear a lot tonight. I'm just warning everybody now.
My head hurts tonight. So, the referee, first idea, take a look at the big giant clock on the Titantron. You know the idea of the match. He has to beat the clock and you know the finish. Whoops. Count to 10 quicker. I'm just saying.
Yeah, this is not a match where they're going to get back in the ring and there's going to be a pinfall. You can count at a normal speed. You don't have to wait 2 minutes in between each count. You can, you know, actually count it at a normal, regular speed and it would be perfectly fine. Roughing 101. The only time you count slow is when they're going to get their ass back in the ring and the match is going to continue. Wasn't going to continue here, dude.
So they try to sell us on this fake finish. And then they go to break. To solve their screw up. And then they come back from a break and say, Miz still has the record. Tonight's show is sponsored by Airheads.
Yeah.
I'm holding one right in my hand. Right now.
Tonight's WWE Raw was written by Airheads.
That too.
Yeah, I tried to help you guys on that. Sorry.
Yeah. Why? Anyway.
You know what? If they continue with that, with this, and they don't fix this, you may get a job with WWE because I may go on a road trip to Stamford, Connecticut and kill the entire writing team. It could happen.
Yeah, but then you're going to be in prison.
That's okay. I'll be in prison in Connecticut, so I'll be close.
Kane can come for conjugal visits.
Yes, he can. And for the record, I am not actually going to kill the writing team. That is not a threat.
Yet.
Have the WWE Secret Service come down checking her out.
She get this call from, you know, from the Connecticut State Police. Did you or did you not threaten to kill the writing team on 4/30/2012? They had it coming.
It's like the TSA guys. They totally had it coming.
They totally had it coming.
You can find me. I live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yes. My name is Tim Stein.
My name is Tim Stein.
See this video, Cooking with Tim Stein? This is my show. This is what I look like.
Had to. Anyway.
Yeah.
Up next, Brother Clay versus, what's that black guy's name? Who still has a job, apparently.
JTG.
Right, him. Apparently he
with
still has
a job.
With
jobber entrance. Yeah, I have a really funny feeling all the people that were going to get future endeavored, we saw tonight. I don't know why, but just the fact that JTG got airtime, that... Who else got airtime?
That's about it.
That's about it? Okay. Because we didn't see Slater, we didn't see...
No, we didn't
see Slater's anything. Gonna get another year out of WWE because of the Flo Rida appearance. He needs a ginger to beat up. He needs a white guy to beat up, so it's gonna be he's in.
Sheamus is fair.
Yeah, but he's world heavyweight champion. Not that they seem to care about not making their champion look weak, but.
By the way, where was Hornswoggle?
You mean Funkasaurus's little brother?
Yeah, that guy.
No idea.
He was fixing his house up under the ring.
Just gonna say, did anyone check under the ring?
And I know it's unprofessionally eating on air, but fuck it, I don't care tonight. I'm eating an airhead. Anyway. Backstage, Eve told Teddy Long that his presence was upsetting John Laurinaitis. He asked him to leave, and Teddy left with his big name tag for some apparent reason. This is where John
Laurinaitis... Because Eve had a bright idea that everyone, if she doesn't know who they are, should have to wear a name tag.
That's great writing.
How the fuck do you not know who Teddy Long is?
Yeah, she's dumb. That's the first big idea she got with the help of her new glasses.
Get thicker glasses. They'll make you smarter.
I'm not even going to make the joke.
The only thing I hope from this whole clusterfuck of a story that they've come up with so far is that Teddy Long goes to the board of directors, rats out John Laurinaitis, and gets his ass fired, as if tonight wasn't enough.
That would make logical sense. Never going to happen.
I know. But that would just be perfect.
Well, what I'm thinking is, isn't putting his hands on talent what got Triple H in trouble? When he put his hands on The Miz and R-Truth.
There's a difference here, if I recall. That was self-defense.
Right. I mean, and I agree with you on that. Triple H was not in the wrong there. But that was the train of thought that got him investigated.
Yeah, but to the same respect, John Laurinaitis, I think, has now put his hands on talent multiple times.
Right,
yeah.
But also Triple H lost the locker room.
Yeah.
So the whole walkout thing. That's what started it. And the lack of confidence in.
So the question is that going to happen to Johnny Ace, or are they not going to remember that?
They're not going to remember that. Anyway, Eve basically asks John Laurinaitis, what type of leader you're going to be, and stop looking at my boobs.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Eve is walking around with her tits stitched up to her eyebrows, and she's telling John Laurinaitis to not look at her boobs. Really?
And he still did.
And he still did.
He just fucking ignored her. Like, shut up, bitch. It's why you're there. So I can look at your boobs. And just... Ugh.
So he basically says he's going to name who John Cena's opponent will be for Over a Limit, which, when you're hearing that, you go, why the fuck is John Cena wrestling again?
Oh, by the way, I have one thing I want to address that I forgot to address from the beginning of the show.
Go right ahead. I want to eat my airhead.
To John Laurinaitis, or to Triple H, I forget which one fucking said it, we want to see a rematch between John Cena and Brock Lesnar? No the fuck we do not. I do not want to see that again. I paid to see it last night. I don't want to see it again.
You know what? I would have paid to see a rematch. If, you know, John Cena lost. Just saying. Because that would make booking sense.
Because you know what? I'm sorry. At this point, I'm done with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
I'm seriously done with him. I gave him a chance. I tried to be positive about him. I tried to, you know, just go with the flow, but no. No. I'm done with him. Get him off my TV. Pay him his $5 million and send him home to Grandma Rena because I don't want to see his ass anymore on my TV.
Up next, Randy Orton versus Jack Swagger in a beat the clock challenge match.
Yeah, was there really any question how that match was going to turn out?
No, pretty much. Randy Orton, with 2 seconds to go, hits the RKO and gets the victory on Jack Swagger.
Him and his fucking haircut.
Yeah, they need to do something about that.
They do.
So Randy Orton becomes the new leader in the Beat the Clock Challenge. So long, Miz. You don't get anything.
You fail.
Yeah, pretty much you fail. This is where we then segue into the WWE Tag Team Championship match. Primo and Epico get on TV so Rosa can't complain to take on R-Truth and Kofi Kingston. Thoughts?
We finally have tag team champions with some talent. I'm thrilled. These two have been deserving of a push for a long time. Not that having the tag team belts necessarily indicates a push, but they're over right now. Thank God.
Not sure if it's a step up or not.
Well, maybe we'll actually get to see the tag team titles on TV more often.
Ha! Ha! Jackie's made two funnies tonight. Ha! That's funny. Tag team champions on TV. Ha!
You know, it was nice to see the belts change hands, and it's quite apparent that Rosa Mendez again is an idiot because she's going to let Abraham Washington move in on her men and take her job from her, which, you know what, if she's that stupid to let that happen, great. But still, yeah, I mean, it was great to see Kofi and Truth go over. It made me happy. It made Jackie, you know, ecstatically happy to see that one happen. So, yeah, it was a great match, too, overall. Again, I like how R-Truth is selling the whole Little Jimmy thing.
Yes.
And even though I have to agree with Jackie and say that I do miss the days when he, you know, fought against Little Jimmy.
Like a ranting, raving lunatic?
Like a ranting, raving lunatic. It's still funny as crap.
Yeah, it is. Up next, in the why the hell did they put these two together in the ring match? Kane and the Great Khali.
Oh, God.
Had Kane, so we had a squee. But,
I want to see tell me something positive out of this matchup, please. I want positivity out of this one. I want to see
Kane was in it.
Kane was in it?
Besides that.
Kane was in it?
Kane didn't lose? Necessarily? They both lost? Kane was in it?
Kane had a mad? I mean, okay. Khali, it was not the best of matches. But at least you could tell Glenn Jacobs, Kane, was doing his best to put Khali over.
I felt sorry. Kane's been doing 2 minute squash matches on TV except when he fights Randy Orton. So he's been told he has 4 minutes and 16 seconds to get a match out of the Great Khali. He probably went, "What the fuck are you smoking tonight?"
I think that's the general theme of the entire show, actually. What the fuck? I demand a drug test for the writing team.
Well, it's policy for the writers.
That was just, yeah. But, oh God.
So, he's doing a side headlock in the ring to keep Khali down. really, like, oh my god.
Yeah, the whole thing, again, bless Glenn Jacobs, bless him to the utmost, but yeah, that was just, the poor bastard. Yeah, he did the best he could with what he had. We all know Kali is the drizzling shits when it comes to in-ring work. He's really best for 2-second squash matches, and that's it. So when you sit there and you realize that, oh my god, they're going to go the entire 4 minutes and however many seconds, we're fucked. It's really kind of disappointing.
It's basically kind of one of those things where that segment of the show was basically for Lindsay and I, and everyone else kind of had just to suffer through a 4-minute match. We had our squee time for the week, and everyone else had to suffer, basically.
I would like to credit the folks at ProWrestling.net for providing tonight's recap, because that's what I'm reading. Jason Powell chimes in on his little recap. Since the time restrictions of Beat the Clock Challenge prevented Kane and the Great Khali from settling their differences, there can only be one solution. A 1-hour Iron Man match.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to hurt somebody.
What is his name? We're going to go find him.
He's joking. He's joking.
He damn well better be joking.
But, yeah. So. That was 4 minutes of painfulness.
It was Kane. It was 4 minutes of Kane, though. We were happy either way.
Happy birthday, Kane. You get to fight the Great Khali. But then, we get Daniel Bryan versus Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, WTF. Why did Jerry Lawler all of a sudden get a chance at a title shot?
I mean, if you want to make it any more obvious that Daniel Bryan is going over, why don't you just have him face AJ? I mean, seriously.
No, you're missing the point. Where was Zack Ryder? He always does the job.
He's not, I guess, not even good enough to do the job now?
He beat up Kane. He's done for the week.
Well, he tried, anyway.
He tried. He failed.
Bless his heart, he tried.
By the way, you are a dumb son of a bitch for jumping on Kane's back last night, just saying.
Yeah. And did you see the way Kane kind of stopped what he was doing and looked at Ryder like, what the hell are you doing?
Pretty much, yeah.
But in any event, Jerry Lawler did his normal things, which was awesome. He even pulled out the dropkick, the fist drop, and almost pile driver. But in the end, the yes lock prevailed, and we have a new number one contender for the WWE Championship. His name is Daniel Bryan.
With a minute and 55 seconds to go.
I'm going to steal Daniel Bryan's chant and go, yes, yes, yes. I admit, this is like the one high point of Raw, where it's like, oh, thank you, God, they did it right. We're going to get CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan in a feud, potentially, if nothing else, for the WWE title at Over the Limit. Which would almost make me buy it, except for the finish of Raw. So, but yes. Yay.
They still got a few more weeks.
They've still got a few more weeks. They could definitely fuck this up. I'm not even going to lie, but...
Or they could make it better.
That's the positive spirit.
Oh, come on. You really expect me to be positive after that Raw?
Yes. 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 It's a challenge.
Give me a week. We're not doing a show this week, so give me a week and I might be able to do it.
But yes, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. They gave CM Punk 30 seconds on TV.
Yay!
I scratched my head. Your WWE champion gets 30 seconds.
Oh, come on. It was all about Big Johnny tonight.
Never want to hear that phrase ever again.
It's on his Titantron!
Is that his new name for his penis? His Titantron?
Oh, God. You had to come out and say that.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
I saw that. It's like, oh my god, it's his Titantron. Why is it his Titantron?
I And then I sat here last week on the show and said, or on the rack or whatever show I did many of them, and I said, the one thing we cannot happen on Monday Night Raw this week is have happy-go-lucky John Cena show up. And what do we get? Happy-go-lucky John Cena.
Okay. The one saving grace of this entire ending segment of this show was John Cena's promo before he got his ass whooped. That was pretty fucking entertaining. Even though I didn't want to see happy-go-lucky Cena, I didn't want to see Cena at all on Raw. That was pretty funny.
Honestly, there's been a lot of, over the last few months, maybe even for the last 13 to 14 months since their feud with The Rock started, people are expecting a lot of things out of Cena. Oh, Cena's going to turn heel. Cena's going to do this. Cena's going to do that. Cena's going to be gone off TV for this amount of time. I just keep wondering how many of these things are people going to think is going to happen before. As long as he's selling t-shirts, as long as he is still the face of the company, he's going to be there almost every single week.
Okay, have him show up and be pissed off that he was busted wide open. Have him be pissed off.
But his, and I agree with you on that, that's what I would have preferred to see. But the whole, when he was going against The Rock and everyone was saying, oh, he should turn heel, he should be aggressive, being true to himself has, and that's how he says he is, that's who he says he is, being true to himself has been what has been his anchor to keep him from turning heel, from changing his attitude.
But that's what he needs to do, he needs to change his attitude, I'm sorry.
And I get he's never going to do that, but god damn it, it was...
They had the perfect setup. They really did.
They were handed a golden angle to do something, and they fucked it up. Just saying. But anyway, let's go back to the thing. He made it here. He has, strained everything in his arm and whatever. Out comes John Laurinaitis. John Cena plugs no holds barred and they make a Zeus joke or whatever. John Cena plays along with the what chant, which I found funny.
Yeah, that was good.
I like that. And then, he said he called Brock Lesnar the face of WWE to motivate John Cena.
Yeah, that was some bullshit.
To get the best out of John Cena. And Cena mocked Laurinaitis, smokes thousands of cigarettes and brushes his teeth and with a toothbrush and that came with toilet paper and his ass or whatever. I
understand your frustration, Rock, because it's the same frustration that I feel over the Divas Division every single week. So I do understand why you're frustrated. I guess I know that the situation with Cena is not going to change. So it's kind of like if you know the sign is going to come up the next morning, there is no point pitching a fit over it.
It's not like the Divas. This is like they were given an opportunity to do something. And it just stems back from WWE not doing the opposite of what everyone wanted to be. Look, we shocked you. And that's what they did last night. And that's what they're doing with this angle. John Cena should be out of action for 6 weeks with that fucking arm injury. But instead, we're going to get John Cena versus John Laurinaitis, which we're getting because, your opponent will be, and then now came Tensai, and everyone's going, oh my god, it's Tensai, and then no, your opponent is me. And then he hits him with the microphone, I guess. And
oh, the way to sell that microphone hit.
So they beat the living crap out of John Cena, destroy his arm even more, because, that's going to be great, and he's going to do the whole one arm tied behind his back bit, or one arm in a sling bit, and trying to fight, Laurinaitis.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I know John Cena is not going to change. That would have been a golden angle for them to do to take him off TV and bring him back as the ultimate Superman and have him destroy Brock Lesnar or defeat Brock Lesnar and even do it at Mania. and even take out John Laurinaitis in the process, but yeah, to have Cena win, just to have him face John Laurinaitis at the pay-per-view, and granted, there's still 3 weeks, things can still change. We don't know what's going to happen next week on Raw, and like I said, I hope to God they do something. I hope to God there are repercussions from Triple H's arm getting broken by Brock Lesnar and John Laurinaitis. I don't think there will be. If they don't do repercussions for Kane, they're probably not going to do them for Laurinaitis.
Right. Let me stop you a minute, because I get the angle they just did. I understand it completely. I have no real explanation for it. I don't think many do. I get that they want to do John Cena versus Lord Tensai. Okay, that would have been fresh if they didn't do it in England. Because you know that's where it's going to. So they're doing Laurinaitis versus Cena. Fine, they could have done that match. But you know what they also could have done? The same thing with a Cena loss last night. See, that's the thing with this whole storyline. They've done every part that makes sense. The Lesnar
Except
thing in the
finish.
Beginning... The Lesnar thing in the beginning made sense. This angle at the end made perfect sense for the storyline. Made perfect sense. A beat... John Laurinaitis picking the spot of an injured man. They just screwed up how they got there. That's my issue. That's my problem. You understand now my problem, Jackie?
No, I understand. I get what you're saying. I just...
It's
if you allow yourself to get frustrated over what you know is going to continue to happen and John Cena getting over, you're going to have a heart attack by WrestleMania next year, honey.
If I didn't get frustrated, we would have no show.
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
We would have no show tonight. So it's like kind of WWE booking.
And plus, in comparison of what they gave last night. Just to kind of, I guess, move on
Please.
A little bit. Last night, up until the last two matches, I would say, was a actually very good pay-per-view. I thoroughly enjoyed it up until about the last two matches. And I get why we couldn't have the matches that we got at Mania, because they would have been overshadowed. But God damn it, I wish we had gotten them at Mania. Punk versus Jericho was fucking epic. Orton versus Kane was amazing. I mean, it's just, you got these just fantastic matches that built up to the pay-per-view and did it so well. And you're like, why couldn't we have gotten this a month ago? Why are we getting this now?
I'm okay we got it now.
I'm glad we got it. Don't get me wrong. I am absolutely thrilled we got it. But still, it's just like, why...
Here's the thing. By the way, we're doing a little bit of a pay-per-view recap tonight because we're not doing a show Thursday. Breaking news, The Rock is not on this Thursday.
Yes. This week is my birthday. My parents are coming into town. We are not doing a show Thursday.
Right. And she has
Tweet her at Lynn's Word with all your happy birthday messages.
Right. And she also has a date with Drew McIntyre. So.
I fucking wish.
Didn't I tell you I set that all up?
Aw, you're awesome.
So, yeah, we're...
Is he going to put out, or do I have to buy him dinner?
You have to buy him dinner.
God damn it.
Sorry. It was in the contract.
I get paid tomorrow, so I'll pitch in, but I get king.
Okay.
I can make a comment, but I'm not going to. Let's go into some of the highlights of the pay-per-view, because... We're going to go there for now. Because we can go, we're sky's the limits tonight, and we're just doing it because we did Raw. And, you know, it would have been a short show. It's 50 minutes. We're going to give you a few more minutes.
We want to move on to something more positive because we actually kind of liked Extreme Rules.
We did, and Lindsay didn't get a chance to really talk about it. Well, she didn't get to talk about it. Jackie shared some of her thoughts last night on Wrestle Talk Radio, which we played with Tim Stein Bingo, which was awesome.
No, it wasn't awesome. I lost.
I won. It was awesome.
Yeah, Rock's happy.
I was happy. because it worked so perfectly.
I loved how we were trying to bait Tim into saying shit for our cards, and he did not pick up on it until Rock yelled bingo.
No, he picked up on it when May said two.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, it still got him to do it. It worked. It worked out perfect. Yeah. But anyway.
And for the record, before we continue, no cane kittens, my positivity has not broken. Unlike your soul, however, there is not much I can say about Raw that was really overly that positive. I just really did not like it this week.
All right, positive, Randy Orton and Kane. Thoughts on the match?
That was a fucking great way to open the show.
Yeah, it set a high standard for the rest of the show.
I mean, God, they went everywhere, and they just beat the piss out of each other.
I think this experience that we had yesterday should show that from now on, do not spend $60 on WrestleMania. Just keep 10 of that and buy the pay-per-view after. From now on.
Well, only do that if Taker and Triple H and Shawn Michaels are on the card.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yes. So, Kane and Randy Orton, I guess that was the best of the series, I would imagine.
Well, I like the match at WrestleMania. I didn't have a problem with their match at WrestleMania.
I didn't have a problem with their match at WrestleMania. Their match at WrestleMania was good. It just, after what happened with Daniel Bryan, it was really difficult to get into it. Yeah, it's like you didn't really recover from the match with Daniel Bryan until, I would argue, probably halfway through Kane Orton, if not later.
Yeah.
Depending on who the fan was, just because everybody was left going, what the fuck was that?
What did I just say?
If you record or DVR WrestleMania or something from the last 2-3 days of WWE TV where they replay the pin that Sheamus got on Daniel Bryan, watch the crowd, the first rows back, when Sheamus gets the pin. I have never seen so many jaws collectively hit the floor at one time in all of sports. It's really funny.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. But yeah, you're just sitting there and you're going, it's just, everybody's going, huh? And so that's why I think it was a great way for them to open the show with, you know, with Orton and Kane. They went everywhere. They set a really high standard for the rest of the show because, like I said, I think when we were talking about Mania, the way I pace the show and the way I look at the show is how they open it.
And they didn't open Mania well, and that took everyone an hour to recover.
Yeah, they didn't open Mania well. They opened this pay-per-view well. They opened it hot, and they did it right.
Well,
and
if you think about it, they opened the pay-per-view like they normally would at 8 p.m. Because that's when Triple H and Undertaker started.
This is true.
The first hour didn't count.
First hour is the fucking pre-show that nobody gives a shit about.
Live on
YouTube. Nobody cared until the Undertaker and Triple H got out there.
Yeah.
And we got Castle Grayskull and Super Shredder. Yes!
Yeah. I would have very happily paid the $60 just to watch Kane's match and Taker's match. Everything else, I kind of, whatever.
Yeah, I had to go back and I had to watch Kane's match again afterwards. And like I said, it was a good match. It just, again, it just felt like something was missing from it. And I think part of it was the crowd was just not into it. Because the crowd was chanting for Bryan. They were going, what the fuck? And I think everybody was just still too shocked from the opener to really get into that match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this match, the crowd wasn't. I love a Chicago crowd. They're so awesome. But Chicago crowd was into it. They were hot. Like I said, it was a great way to open the show.
Right. This is where I'm pulling up my notes from last night. Brodus Clay versus Dolph Ziggler.
Wasn't a fan of this just because I don't like seeing them squash talent like that. I mean, Dolph got a decent match out of Brodus. It was okay. It wasn't the best. But I don't like the fact that they're jobbing Dolph out to Brodus. Unless they're going to pay it off at the end.
We have, at this point, Ryback, Brodus Clay, and Tensai, where their matches consist of nothing but squash. There are three people who are getting TV time that are doing nothing but squash people, and I'm sorry, but that's bullshit.
Can Ryback go away? He looks like an angry walking penis in RVD tights.
Wait, we'll get there.
Yeah, I'm kind of ready just, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, really, you know, I sit down, I take time of my schedule from doing other things to sit down and watch WWE programming, and I'm subjected to squash matches. Really?
Jackie, welcome back to old school WWE programming.
Yep.
That's what they did back in, you know, the old school days.
But which old school days?
Early 90s and the 80s, you know, they used to do it all the time.
I'm ready to see, like, excuse me, like Ryback versus Lord Tensai already.
Oh, God, that's going to be horrible. Anyway, up next, we had Big Show.
Talk about a black hole of suck.
No, the black hole of death, or the black, what'd you call it on Thursday?
The black hole of, oh fuck, where's my phone? I don't remember. Anyway, Roger Goodall and John Laurinaitis. The black hole of awesome.
The black hole of personality.
There we go.
Trending worldwide, the black hole of personality, Roger Goodell and John Laurinaitis.
Yeah. This is what happens when I watch the NFL draft at work.
Yeah, and then I decide to, oh, that's like a fun graphic to make. Let's make it.
Yes.
And it was me. So it's on Twitter. Find it. IC title? Big Show goes through the table?
Yeah, and that was a controversial thing in itself. Even on WTR last night, they were nitpicking about that.
Okay. I get why they did it. Before I do this, before I say this, I get why they did it. You take, you know, Show got his nod with the IC belt. He's a Grand Slam champion. You put the belt back on Rhodes. You continue Rhodes' push as if nothing happened. Could you pick a better finish, please? I'm sorry. Big Show technically stepping through a table to end the match.
It's like slipping on a banana peel.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, because they actually were putting together a fairly decent match. And you're thinking, how the fuck is Cody going to put Big Show through a table? And then you see how it happens, because by all accounts, Cody technically did put him through a table.
Yes.
He drop kicked him, I think, which caused Show to step back and step through the table. So by all accounts, Cody did actually win by putting Show through a table. But it could have been done in much more spectacular fashion.
Yeah. But they went for the what the fuck ending, and that's about it. All right. Jackie, yeah. You want to add anything to the match?
I think it was just a way of them showing Cody using, I guess, brains over brawn, I guess. But I got to admit, I would have preferred a bigger ending than the one we got. I mean, the match went with literally him stepping down.
Yeah.
I'm now stepping down. Here's your belt back.
I resign as champion. You're the first runner-up here. You take it.
Handing over my crown.
Yes.
World heavyweight title match. 2 of 3 falls. Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan.
This was actually a really great match. I mean, really, 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 really great.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Really!
Okay, really.
Thank you, Miz. Speaking of Miz, you can see him in the Marine 3.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yes. Yeah. Starring in the Marine 3, Mike the Miz Mizanin.
Yes. So, look for that one to be a black hole of suck. sorry. Miz's acting skills are right there with Michelle McCool's. I'm sorry. They just, no. They're, no. No.
Anyway, back to the match. Daniel Bryan.
Back to the match.
Daniel Bryan Sheamus. First of all, it, DQ.
Which I didn't know could happen. I mean, I knew you could get DQ'd, I guess, in that kind of match, but it's just like, really, they're going to call it a DQ?
Yeah, you can. You can get DQ'd. You can get counted out. Unless otherwise stipulated.
But I liked how you have Brian get DQ'd and he takes out Sheamus's arm, so he'll tap to the yes lock, which was nice. But then you have Sheamus. I think he hit the bro kick.
Mm-hmm. Kane Kittens, you're begging to get your butt whooped. Just saying.
What is? I'm not even looking. No, Michelle can suck a golf ball through a garden hose. That's how she got Taker. Just saying. I'm sure she's a very lovely girl as well.
So is sucking a golf ball through a hose trending now? Garden hose?
Let me talk to Cranky Asshole and we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Because he's the one that gave me that term.
Gotcha.
Because he said Jackie and I can do that as well, so. Because we're awesome like that. But it didn't
get me Kane, just saying.
Not yet.
Keep practicing.
Keep practicing.
Anyway, the match. We're getting sidetracked. The match.
Match was good. I like the match. I like the finish. You know, it's Sheamus retained. The only thing I would have liked, because they kind of hinted at it, was with AJ stalking him in the shadows, was to see something from AJ, and I don't know if we'll get it on SmackDown or not, but just to see AJ in more capacity, because if you've seen the No Way Out poster, which is fucking awesome, I want it. Yeah.
Yeah. That poster is pretty epic.
Daniel Bryan's facial expression alone is worth buying that poster.
So yes, in the end, Sheamus retained his title via pinfall. Up next, where we learn math from two skinny white guys.
Oh, God.
God.
Two is better than one.
I kept praying for somebody to come out there after he said it for the 50 billionth fucking time. You're going to go out there and you're going to be a jobber. Granted, the promo was actually decent up until that point. Okay? I get it, to get your ass handed to you, but come the fuck on.
My guess, honestly, from watching that, was that Ryback took a bit too long to get ready.
Get him out there.
The security was taking too long to knock on this door and, you know, walk him to the ring, because it was time for Goldberg.
Yeah, that's pretty lame. I didn't like Goldberg the first time around, and I'm probably not going to like him the second time around either.
Yeah.
No, this is like the fourth version, because there's one in TNA.
God.
Yep.
But he just doesn't have the bald head.
Ryback, if he wants to be over, he should consider getting his teeth fixed. Just saying.
He should consider getting a new gimmick.
That too. RVD on steroids beats two white skinny dudes.
Yeah. I like RVD just the way he is, even if he is stoned most of the time.
It's part of his charm.
Yes.
Up next, the WWE title match, CM Punk versus Chris Jericho.
Oh my God. I felt horrible because I had to get up and fix food in the middle of this, but I was starving. But, oh my gosh, yes, yes. This is one of the matches that I wish I had gotten at Mania. The other one was Brian Sheamus. Mm-hmm. This match, just to see Punk in pants alone. Because he walked out and I said to Jack, he's like, he's wearing pants. I didn't get to see his thighs, which was a little disappointing, but... They put together just a hellacious, epic, amazing match where they beat the crap out of each other.
They did. They really beat the living crap out of each other for about 25 minutes. That's by the looks of Jericho's back after this show.
Oh, God, yeah.
That was kind of a...
Did he tweet that or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, CM Punk retains the WWE Championship in an excellent match. He almost falls off the top rope to do his flying diving elbow.
He's here. I even like the fact that they involve CM Punk's family, and I said that they kind of needed to. It would have been nice to see them there, and the limited capacity that they involved was big. The sister fuck out of Jericho. That the way that they did that, the whole... of it was wonderful. God, I wish I'd gotten.
It was really good. They have 30 minutes to a really good match.
I'm disappointed we didn't get any pictures. I don't mean, I kind of am forced to believe that Punk probably had some welts on him too.
Probably why he didn't wrestle.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see any of them. Man up, Punk. We got to see Jericho's welts. We want to see pictures of your body, in other words, on Twitter.
He doesn't do that, unfortunately. I just like that he wanted the old school ROH shirt back. That was hilarious. I want that back! It's like, yay. So anyway, moving on.
Moving on. So yeah, that was the title match. Layla beat Nikki Bella. Moving on.
It's great to see Layla back, although I almost had a coronary.
Yeah.
That was one
of those moments where even someone like me, who is just about as close to Lindsay as anyone else out there, as soon as you heard that music, that Lay Cool music, my knee-jerk reaction was, oh my god, it's Michelle McCool. I had completely forgotten that she was pregnant. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to step away from Lindsay now. Because
my knee-jerk reaction was, oh my god, fuck no, that bitch is pregnant.
Yeah, I had not forgotten about that. My thought was, I need to get the hell out of here before Lindsay kills me with something.
Oh, just for record, Lindsay hasn't forgotten that she's pregnant.
Yes.
Oh, no. I am very well aware that she is with child. Very, very well aware of it.
So, Lance,
so is Brock, because he spent an hour with me the other night trying to find pictures of her pregnant ass.
She was obsessed.
At least she's not old.
Anyway, yeah, Layla comes back after a year off and wins the title.
It was a nice swerve. It was nice to see Layla come back. I would have liked to have seen Karma. I think everybody was expecting to see Karma, especially when they pulled Beth out. It's kind of like, oh yes, here we go. And then it's, yeah, no, you fail.
Well, because of the fact that the Bellas were going out, when you consider what happened when Karma left, you know.
Which makes perfect sense. Again, that word, logic sense. I need to stop watching wrestling with logic. I really do.
I guess she just isn't ready yet.
Yeah, this just a major announcement this week on True Long Island Story, according to Zach Ryder on Twitter. And Joey Styles takes a shot at Extreme Reunion. Basically, he goes, and where was the fucking tweet? You want to know how to produce an extreme, you know, show? This is how, and then links to ECW One Night Stand. Sorry, Extreme Reunion. That was an epic fail, apparently, according to all the reports. But moving on. Main event. Brock Lesnar. John Cena. And go. No, that's gimmick infringement. Gimmick infringement.
It's not my fault. Oh, wait a minute. That's gimmick infringement, too, huh?
Okay. Before I start on this, I get why they did it. I get it. But you have Brock Lesnar beat the high holy fuck out of John Cena for what? 20? 30 minutes?
15, 20.
To the point that Cena is bleeding, he has one arm, and he's out of sorts. And then you have Super Cena rally, and he comes back for the win. Now, again, I get why they did it. They continued the storyline tonight. He's going to face John Laurinaitis at Over the Limit, which makes me head desk. But, and I understand they're not going to have Cena job to Brock. I get that. I wanted that, and I think a lot of people wanted to see that, especially after they had Cena job to The Rock at WrestleMania. Yes, thank you. Thank you for the Superman music. But, yeah, the whole thing was just, it's like, you're getting a really great match. Brock's beating the fuck out of Cena like we're expecting.
And it was fantastic, by the way.
And it was fantastic to see. You think, okay, Brock's going to wrap this up. He's going to win. they're going to put him over as an unstoppable force, and then Superman shows up and beats Brock. And then he cuts a pussy-ass promo at the end, which I'm not entirely sure what that was for, other than to piss John Laurinaitis off. But, yeah, it was... Yeah. I mean, if they did it to shock everyone, great. But they had the golden setup right there to have Brock take Cena out for 6 weeks. Cena comes back, and they could have had a rematch at either whatever the pay-per-view is after Over the Limit, or they could even stretch to SummerSlam and had a great SummerSlam main event and did what they did last night at SummerSlam. But, yeah, I'm going to continue to see where this goes. I'll try to keep an open mind, but right now, you know what? You paid $5 million to bring Brock in, and you job him out on the first pay-per-view. I just hope you realize nobody's going to give a fuck about him after this.
I want to tie something, but get Jackie's thoughts in the middle of the match in a moment. I want to come back to the ending of Raw. I've been sitting here trying to think of it. Or not even the ending of Raw, the beginning of Raw. Brock Lesnar. Just ties into the match. You have Brock Lesnar lose, which was the stupidest thing in the world. And then you do the angle where he attacks Triple H on Raw, which was perfect. Because we know where that's going to go. And to be honest, that would be a good match to see.
Yeah.
Would have been better if, you know, you have an undefeated monster going against Triple H, but that's... I've moved on from that point. Just making it clear. Until the next time I bring it up.
Again, this is what we wanted to see versus what we got.
Right. And I get what they did, because now Brock Lesnar's going to be off television for 6 weeks, I guess. Or a month. Because they're going to save his dates. Which is fine. Because you're going to have, you know, the Triple H is going to recover. You'll have the board of directors make some ruling that he's suspended or whatever. And
the Triple H is suspended?
No, Brock's suspended. Oh. That's why he's off TV for X amount of, you know, he's suspended for a month. Gets him off TV. That's logic. And it's like, okay, I get that. It's just, everything was, they were doing everything right. And they've done everything right before and after. During it, that 2-minute Superman comeback is where they screwed up. That's my piece. Jackie?
To be honest, I went into that match not expecting Cena to win, but fully expected, not being surprised, being fully prepared for Cena to win. I did not expect the UFC guy to get over the WWE guy in the first match, so I'm honestly more interested at this point in the Brock Triple H thing than I was the Brock Cena thing. I do realize that we're not going to see him for some time at this point. I believe what you said, that he'll most likely get suspended in some way. But to be honest, him being suspended and off WWE TV for me for a few months is fine, because I was not one of those ones that really wanted to see Brock Lesnar in the first place. So it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm watching a guy that I really don't give two shits about feud with someone.
Who only your cat likes.
Ziva, she's I think Ziva's a Triple H fan, actually.
She's a Triple H fan as well? Oh, Jesus Christ. Does she spit water too?
No, I think that's why she likes Triple H, because my cat is completely spoiled and only drinks bottled water, and he carries a bottle of water, so I think that's why she's a Triple H fan.
Does she have a throne?
Kinda.
Yeah, she's a Triple H fan.
Yeah. So, and I know it sounds really negative, but it's like, yeah, I'm basically sitting watching a feud with someone who I really don't give two shits about. So the way that I see this particular feud is, at least I'll get to see Triple H.
At least we'll get to see Triple H, and I will give you that. But, you know, it's kind of, again, it's when we get the match between Brock versus Triple H. Obviously, we will, at least logic, again, I need to throw that out the window, but logic speaking, we will probably not get it at Over the Limit.
No, no. We'll probably get it. What's the June pay-per-view? No Way Out?
No Way Out.
Even then, that might be a rush. It might be Money in the Bank.
I would say Money in the Bank or SummerSlam, just to... Because if Triple H's arm is broken, then that's at least 6 to 8 weeks that they're going to have to wait for that to heal, unless he's going to wrestle a la Cowboy Bob Orton and cast.
He's done it before.
No, I know he's done it before, but just to allow that time to heal, and then you start, and in the meantime, you build the feud with Brock.
But again, how long do broken backs take to heal?
This is
oh,
true.
Oh, God, you're Zack Ryder, what, 2-3 days?
No, it took about 6 weeks for a broken back for a Ryder. So.
Especially when you consider first it was broken, and then it was sprained, and then it was this, and then it was that. He went through a few different back injuries.
Yeah, and Kane kept trying to kill him, and God bless him, he just, you know, couldn't get it done. But, yeah, overall, I like the whole pay-per-view. I was a little disappointed with the finish. However, we did get in that match. It wasn't a shooting star press moment, but by God, Brock flew.
Brock smash knee.
Brock smash
barricade.
Jackie and I were on the phone with each other, and he pulled that move, and both of us went, "What the fuck was that?" So we got a patented Brock Lesnar botch in the match, which yes. I hope everybody got a laugh out of, because, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, he pulled that move, and I was like, oh my God, if Cena does lose, he's going to have to pin himself.
Yeah, and it's like, oh God, please don't let Brock have fucked up his knee, because there goes the entire fucking program. And you know, everybody in the back thought the exact same thing.
That's what you say is vintage Brock Lesnar.
Yes. Everybody take a shot. That's the Michael Cole drinking game. If Michael Cole says vintage, take a shot.
Can make people really drunk at the moment.
Brock.
Yes.
That's brilliant. Instead of having the Tim Stein bingo, you have a Tim Stein drinking game.
Oh God, none of us would be sober.
Well, you don't have to drink alcohol.
Your bladder would explode.
That's Tim Stein drinking game. Anytime he does something stupid, you take a shot.
And that's where hashtag Tim Stein's depends come in handy.
Right.
Well played. Well played.
You wear Tim Stein depends when you play Tim Stein drinking game.
God damn it, does no one on this goddamn network drink?
I don't. No, you don't, Lindsay, do you? Well, at least not that often.
I do. I enjoy the occasional frosty alcoholic beverage.
But
you're not a lush like Tim.
No.
Every week he's got some kind of something he whipped up in his kitchen sink or his bathtub or something.
No, I go to the liquor store and I buy my alcohol like a normal person.
He was telling me how he... Isn't it lush? I wonder who that is. I wonder.
Next episode of Cooking with Tim Stein. Bathtub Moonshine.
Tim was
with all generic products.
Tim Stein was explaining his, you know, his homebrew to me today.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
You know, Tim Stein, the avid drinker. He's such an alcoholic. But then again, other people say he doesn't drink.
According to the roast of Tim Stein.
No, it wasn't even the roast of Tim Stein. It was on an episode of some show, and they said he doesn't drink.
Oh, that's right. Some show that we don't remember the name of.
Right, we don't remember the name of that show. Tim Stein doesn't drink.
Yeah, but... So, anyway...
And not much else
so
to do.
Guys,
we're done.
What are your Yeah, I was just going to say, Lindsay, ladies first, letter grade?
D.
For what, Raw?
For yes. Raw. Yeah. That was a D. I'm sorry. That was almost as bad as the first Raw of the year. It felt very, very disconnected, very slapped together. They did well with the first opening segment, but the rest of it was just kind of, huh? Because they basically ended, as far as we can tell right now, Orton Kane ended last night, Punk Jericho ended last night, and Sheamus Bryan ended last night. The three top storylines going into that pay-per-view were ended last night. And now they're moving on, which feels a little weird because, like we said, normally things start at, things end at Mania, and they start the night after. So I need to give it a shot. I need to see where it goes. But this Raw just as a whole just was, yeah. Yeah, no.
Rock?
Average. I see where they're going. Don't necessarily like it. Hot opening, which they've been doing a lot of lately. Hot opens.
Yeah. They're doing well in the opens. They just need to work on the closing.
They're going for controversial closings and some of them work, some of them don't, and I get what they did, but it's like...
I don't want to see Johnny Ace wrestle. I don't want to see his tits. I really don't.
Don't show your tits. Don't show your tits.
They are never going to put don't show your tits on WWE TV. Are you kidding?
Trending worldwide.
Fine. Don't show your tits. Hashtag John Laurinaitis. Yeah, it just...
Yeah.
Although I will say this, one feud I would like to see, or actually technically two feuds I wouldn't mind seeing, would be Orton Punk and Kane Punk.
Orton Punk, Kane Punk.
Kane and Punk would be an interesting mix.
Yeah, but we had Orton Punk last year. Yeah.
They could do it again.
They could do it again, and they eventually will. I think they still need a little bit more time before they go back to them that route, but...
Kane Punk would be an interesting mix. It really would.
One of my favorite backstage segments with Kane is right after the Undertaker was attacked, and Punk was still wearing that lucha mask because he got his head shaved. And he went back to ask Punk if he was one of the ones who attacked Taker. As far as promos go, these two work very well off each other, Punk and Kane. So
they do.
So a all-out feud between the two of them on a psychological level would be interesting. I mean, Kane's level of evil, honestly, fluctuates. You know, if you think back, there was one point when... He was asked to reference back to the day that he set JR on fire. He was like, oh, I don't do that anymore. I'm in a 12-step program and I'm not evil anymore. And now he's leaving his own father to die in a freezer. But right now, he's pretty much the top of his game as far as evil is concerned. So for this kind of maniacal character of Kane, for someone who can play games on the psychological level that Punk can, yeah. I'll take it.
Is this where I say, this was your Kane Squee of the Week?
You know what? Since we're not having one this week, if I would have known going in, I would have picked one. But I'll do Punk, it next week.
Kane in the Pepsi machine and then CM Punk.
Anyway, that's that. I don't know. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap up the show?
No.
We're giving you live airways. This is your chance now, people. If you're in the chat room, you want anything us to answer anything, please send us a message and we'll answer things. We're out live right here on the air because we got nothing else to do right now.
Are we just killing time till 11?
I guess. We'll kill 4 minutes. So if you want us to talk about something, please, please say something in the chat room. If not, we're going to end the show and we're going to plug and get the fuck out of here.
Did everybody in the chat room wish Lindsay a happy birthday? I know Kane Kittens did.
They got a few days. They can tweet her at Lynn's Ward and stuff and tweet her that way. Tweet her
presents of alcohol, money, and Kane are accepted. And Undertaker.
And Drew McIntyre.
And Drew McIntyre.
And Wade Barrett. Barrett.
Yeah. And CM Punk.
I don't know about Wade Barrett. He's got a lawyer now. This could get complicated.
Well, that's right.
But Punk, McIntyre, Kane, Taker, yeah. I'm okay with that. Ooh, speaking of Taker, I found a clip on YouTube.
Oh, God. Things I should not be looking at on my computer include a file called, from Tim, says, the X is a cunt. Yes, he's
oh, God.
Yeah. And also have a file called Warrior Tim.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
Is it an audio file?
It's an audio file. I don't know what it is,
though. Is it Tim cutting a Warrior-style promo?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't.
Play it.
I don't remember what it
no,
is.
No, God. I haven't had a bad day already.
And I got a seven-minute file almost of Tim,
God.
Called Tim Rapping.
Oh, God.
I'm waiting to see if he's actually paying attention for me to, you know.
Welcome to the mini roast of Tim Stein right here on the Raw Post Show.
And apparently he's not listening because I figured he would stop me from playing either one.
Well, Ustreamer 474310 is saying yes, 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 so I take that as a yes, 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 play it.
I don't know what it is. See, the thing is, I don't remember.
We want to listen to a Canadian Jew rap.
By the way, speaking of that, actually, looking at the chat room, who made the banner for Canadian All Pro Wrestling?
Me.
Did you intentionally pick the Six Sided Stars?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Well, you know, the Canadian Jew.
Good one. So, we're not getting any questions, so we're going to kill the show now.
Fuck you all!
We're giving you an opportunity to talk to us, you know, and we're not... Nothing. No one's listening. Anyway. Yeah, this was the WTR Raw Post Show. I don't know. I got nothing. This was a head-shaking...
This was a painful, painful Raw. I expect comeuppance on next Monday. It better be the best fucking show of the week. I don't know. I'll tell you if I'm ready for SmackDown when I read the spoilers.
Oh, God. If Weekend has Kane, then yes.
Then yes. I'm sorry. I'm one of those that I read the spoilers. I do it for Impact, and I do it for SmackDown. And if it has nothing I want to see, a.k.a. Kane or The Undertaker, then I don't watch it. Or James Storm in TNA's case.
Or Bobby Roode?
Nah. More Storm.
Okay.
He's the more long-time love. Mm. Brock can attest to this.
Yes, I've had a long... Go there.
James Storm is a long-time love of Rock.
I didn't say that.
Yes.
I'm stopped looking for clips. Anyway, that's where I start queuing up music and we're going to plug shit. So, plug something, Jackie.
Okay, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. Graham Cotham of the History of WWE.com got the latest episode of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio posted, which is myself, Alan Wojcik, and Teddy Prentice talking about the pay-per-view. Check that out. Or if, since we brought up SmackDown, every Friday you can read my review on SmackDown at the Poughkeepsie Journal section, professional wrestling section under the ring, which is at blogs.poughkeepsiejournal.com. And I do several other shows here on this network that I'm sure Rock will tell you about at some point.
Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LINSWARD. You can follow a little show we do called The Rack, which will not be on this Thursday. But if you do want to listen to it, go to the archives or tune in next week because we'll be doing it live 11 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at WTRthe_rack. And I think that's all I've got to plug. Oh, yeah. Go Kane. Go Taker.
Go Kane.
And go Kane. and Rock.
Tomorrow night, KFA Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik and the Spud Guy at 9 p.m. Eastern. Their guests are the Shark Boy from TNA Wrestling fame and Kevin Sullivan, who played a part at Extreme Union, and we'll probably not talk about Extreme Union, but we'll talk to Kevin Sullivan anyway about his upcoming appearance at Crossfire Wrestling. Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Join Jed Schaefer, Brian Blotty, and the Cheap Wood paneling. As I mentioned, there is no rack, so Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway as we cover the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. And tomorrow, and on Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Join Jackie Fice, Tim Stein, and Omega as they recap the week in pro wrestling. We'll be back next Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll have another hashtag. Probably this week was Down with Laurinaitis. We'll come up with something for next week. Just stay tuned to Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio, Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio.
Hey. Yeah, those are the other shows I was talking about. Night.
So with that being said, for Jackie Fice and Lindsay Ward, I'm Sirach, and we'll see you next week on the WTR Raw Post Show and all that fun stuff live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm